May the words on my lips and may the thoughts in all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Tonight, Jesus calls. We are beautiful. Hope you did your homework. Looked in the mirror, said, you are beautiful this morning. You did? Good. One or two nods. You are beautiful. You are fallen, not perfect. You are longing for a God who we see in Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. And the rest of the mission is really talking about Jesus. And tonight it's about Jesus as the person, and therefore God as the person who calls us. So there we are. I've always liked football. I am a great football fan. I was brought up to support a team called Burnley, right? Because that was the nearest team. You're shaking your head, somebody there. But when I was 15, this is my testimony, by the way, I was converted to Manchester United. So I've supported Manchester United since 1958, since the Munich air disaster. And a lot of my friends did, and so I've always been a very keen Manchester United supporter. I do pay all sorts of sacrifices for my vocation. I had a cup of coffee only the other morning with one of the directors of Sheffield Wednesday, and this afternoon I've been with one of the directors of Sheffield United. So you can see, you know, how kind and fair and good I am. But I'm still a Manchester United supporter. I love football. I watch football. I went to watch them beat Roma 7-1 at Old Trafford only the other month. Wonderful. But, and this is the but, I've got two left feet. I cannot play football for toffee. I am absolutely useless at anything to do with sport, and I always have been as long as I can remember. Absolute dead loss. I was one of those children that there's a little poem about. And the poem goes like this. When they pick teams in the schoolyard, whatever the game might be, there's always somebody left to last. And it's usually me. I stand there looking hopeful and patting myself on the chest. But the captain picks the others first. Starting, of course, with the best. Maybe if teams were sometimes picked, starting with the worst, once in his life, a lad like me could end up being first. And I'm always reminded of that, because it's very true, that little poem, and how I used to feel when we used to play football and nobody wanted me on their side because I was useless. And I'm always reminded of that when I hear that piece that we've just heard from the Bible, that Roger read from us. Because that's a story about somebody who was useless being picked. It's the story of a man called Bartimaeus. Jesus, Bartimaeus the man's called, but Jesus was quite well known by this time. And Jesus is going through this village. And everybody comes out to see this well-known preacher. They've heard of him now, right? And everybody wants to see what's he like and all this, wants to see Jesus. And they're all out and Jesus is coming along. And there's this man who's a blind beggar called Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside. And he hears that Jesus is coming and he starts to shout. And he shouts, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And they all say, shut up. We don't want Jesus messing with people like you. We only want Jesus to see people like us. We're respectable. So let's keep this bloke out of the way. And they shut him up. But the more they shut him up and the more they push him out of the way, the more he shouts, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And Jesus hears him. And he sends two of his disciples over to this poor blind beggar with these words. Take heart. Stand up. He is calling you. Take heart. Stand up. He is calling you. Can you imagine what that must feel like for somebody like blind Bartimaeus? Oh, me? He couldn't possibly be calling me. I've nothing to bring. I'm a beggar. I'm blind. I've night. And yet the words come from the disciples to this poor man. Take heart. Stand up. He is calling you. And the words of the Bible that Jesus speaks are just as important now as they were 2,000 years ago. And those words are just as much for you and for me as they were for that blind man. The words of Jesus to you tonight are, take heart, stand up, he is calling you. He's calling you. Me? Yes, you. I believe that you are here tonight because God has called you here. I never worry, honestly, hand on heart, about numbers. I believe the people who are meant to be at any service here on this mission are here because God wants them to be here. If they come once, if they come twice, if they come eight times, you are there. You are here tonight because God wants you to be here tonight. Because God has called you to be here tonight. Take heart, stand up. He's calling you. I don't know why he's calling you. Because as I'm always saying, if it were me, I wouldn't. Because looking round, I'd pick a much better bunch than you lot. But you are. I don't know why. I've no idea why. He's always chosen, auntie, you know, mixed up, rum folk, ordinary folk, and he's still doing it. Take heart, stand up. He is calling you. What's he calling you to? What's he calling you for? I don't know. Maybe that's part of what this is, to try to discover what God is calling you to. I don't know what it is. But however young you are, I was called to be a priest when I was 14 years old. And I knew when I was 14, God wanted me to be a priest. And it's never gone. And I'm still as much in love with it as I was all those years ago. You're never too young to hear the voice of God. Never too young. And you're never too old. Nobody's redundant. Right? Never too old. And God says in the letter to the Romans, God never repents of his calling. He never stops calling you. He might change what he wants you to do, but he never stops. He never stops calling you. I don't care if you're 95, that doesn't mean you can put your boots up as a Christian. God continues to call you. As I say, why you? I don't know. What each individual is called to? I don't know. All I do know is that you're here because you are called. Take heart. Stand up. He is calling you. You're never too old. One of my favourite stories is about a friend of mine who was a nun. Not the community that Sister Rosalia belongs to, another community. And I've known her for many years. And she was the youngest nun in her community. And lovely. Absolutely delightful. And the sisters elected a new mother, and they elected her as the mother superior, even though she was the youngest nun in the community. And I went down to her do when she was made the mother, the service, installation. And after the service, I said to her, I said, I feel sorry for you. She said, why, what's the matter? It's like running an old folks home this long. I said, there are more Zimmer frames than crucifixes. Because there were only one or two, they were all old, just one or two younger ones. She said, oh, Jack, she said, you've got it all wrong. She said, it's not like that at all. She said, I always remember the phrase she used. She said, you see, these old sisters, they are, these were her words, the crowning glory of our community. Those were the words she used. These old sisters are the crowning glory of our community. She said, I believe that God has got wonderful things in store, and I believe that they will happen. And I've got all the ideas, she said, but they will happen because of the prayers of those old people. It's a nursing community, but the need of nursing, they couldn't nurse anymore. But she said, wonderful things will happen, because although they're not nursing, they're praying. And their prayers will make the difference. And in 2 years, and this is a long time, 30-odd years ago, in 2 years she raised £1.5 million, which was a lot of money 30 years ago. A million, and built the first hospice for terminally ill children in Europe. A place called Helen House in Oxford, Mother Frances Dominica. Yeah? You might have seen, they've built another house since. And there have been programmes on the television about it. That's what she said. God never stopped it. Don't think you're past it. Don't think I've been coming to church forever, you know. Let the young ones, I've done my bit, I'm written. No. God never stops calling you. Your prayers will matter at least as much, if not far more, than anything that any busy people can do here. Take heart, stand up. He is calling you. He's not stopping because you're old. I don't know what he's calling you to. But ordinary folk he calls to do extraordinary things. Ordinary holiness, I like to call it. There's a woman in my parish called Joan Bond. And Joan Bond, she was wonderful. She was a great character. Blonde, peroxide. Caked on makeup, bright red lipstick, smoked like a factory chimney. Most at home with a gin and tonic on a bar stool. Absolute, real characters. Came to church on Sunday. And we had a mission like this. And she was very moved by the mission. She said, I don't know what God's calling me to, but I'll have to find out what it is. And she discovered what it was. And she gave up her part-time job at the post office. Her husband was a bricklayer. She gave up her part-time job at the post office. And Monday to Friday, from 2 till 4, she locked the door, took the phone off the hook and prayed. For 2 hours, every afternoon, Monday to Friday. For me, and for the people at church, and for the renewal of the church. And a lot of wonderful things happened in that church. 7 members of the youth club are now ordained. And it's Joan Bond's prayers. Joan Bond's prayers. Ordinary, middle-aged woman, you know, bit common. But her prayers, 2 hours every afternoon, Monday, that's what she was called to. People are just called to ordinary holiness. Laura Callaghan in the same parish was a good Protestant. You know what a good Protestant is? You don't have to believe anything to be a good Protestant. The definition of a good Protestant is someone who can't stand Roman Catholics. And she was a good Protestant. And she ran our guide troop in the parish. She ran the guides in the parish. And one of the guides was taken ill. She had leukemia. 14-year-old kid. And she was a Roman Catholic, this girl. And her family wanted to take her to Lourdes, you know, to the shrine of Our Lady in Lourdes, where people are taken who are very ill. And she wanted to go, but they couldn't afford it. It was a poor housing estate and they'd no money. So Laura Callaghan, the good Protestant, says, well, if she wants to go, she'll go. She said, I don't believe in it. It's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, but if she wants to go, she'll go. And she walked round the estate, 6,000 houses. It took her 2 weeks. It rained almost every day. I can still remember her doing it, knocking on every door, saying, I'm sending one of the guides to Lourdes, you know, I'm coming collecting. And if they say, sorry, I'm not a Roman Catholic, she said, no, neither am I. Love, cough up. And she went round, and she collected £465, which again was a huge amount of money in those days. And the girl went to Lourdes. While she was going round, this was in the time of the Troubles in Ireland, the IRA and all that, her son was blown up by an IRA bomb. She still went round, still knocked at the doors, still got the money. She did more to bring the communities together on that housing estate than all my sermons and all our efforts during the week of prayer for Christian unity. The fact that everybody knew that Laura was doing this as the good Protestant who had lost her son Now that's a calling. That's holiness. And that's what we're all called to. So I don't know how it'll work out for you, but that's what we're called. She was a missionary. She spread the gospel of the sort of God we believe in Jesus Christ. Just by doing that, she couldn't have stood up and spoken. But she could say a lot more than me by who she was. Take heart, stand up. He is calling you. He calls the most peculiar people. I'll just give one more. Only one more story. And this bit of the sermon, anyway. One more example, and it's another nun. I like talking about nuns, but again, it's not Sister Rosalia's community. But there is a nun I know in another community. I know her really very well, and she's a great character, She's the double of Penelope Keith. Have you seen To the Manor Born and all? You know what I mean? With a very posh, very clever, very posh, right? And I see this sister every year, and we talk about things. She's very clever, very poor. And when I'd got to know her a while, I said, "Tell me your story. I love hearing stories." I said, "How come you're a nun? You see?" And she said, "Oh, well, it's really rather odd." She said, "In the 1950s, she's now just turned 70. Said in the 1950s, she said, I was a professional dancer on the stage in clubs in London." She said, "But I was a bit more than a dancer." She said, "We used to call them call girls." Right? In other words, she was on the streets. But she was a call girl. She said, "And my friend who I shared a flat with got pregnant and had a baby. And she said she wanted this baby baptized. So we said we'd go and try to find a church. No, neither of us went to church. So these two call girls with this baby and the black Labrador they had went to look for a church that was open in London, and they found one called St. Cyprian's Clarence Gate, very high. And they went into this church, and the dog got off the lead and started running round wild in the church, and the verger was there." Now, this is God's work, if anything ever was. "The verger was there, and the dog's running wild round the church. And the verger goes up to the dog and kneels down and fusses it and says, 'Ee, what a lovely dog,' and really made the dog welcome." How many vergers would have done that? Eh? But this verger did, and he made the dog welcome. And they said, she said, "We thought, well, if he makes the dog welcome, they might welcome us." And she said, we asked to see the vicar, and the vicar came and said, "We've come to have the baby done. You know, can we?" He said, "Yes, well, let's go and talk about it." And she said, "And my friend said, and I want her to be a godmother." He said, "Well, I've never been to church in my life. I've never been christened or anything. I can't be." She said, well, "Why don't you do me at the same time then?" Not thinking that it meant anything. He said, "All right, but let's talk about it and we'll do some preparation." And that's how she came into the church. And as a result of coming into the church and becoming a Christian, and she's ended up as a contemplative nun, because a verger made a dog welcome. Because a verger made a dog. Never underestimate, you know, the little things, the little welcomes. They can actually change people's lives. You might be called just to be a welcoming soul. So there we are. God never repents of his calling. God's called each of you. I don't know what it is to, but God has called us, and it's wonderful. But, and this is the big but, the generous God who loves us to bits wants us to be generous too. And actually, standing up and following Jesus, take heart, stand up, he's calling you. Standing up and following Jesus always means leaving something behind. It always means leaving something behind, standing up and following Jesus. The other bit of one of my favourite stories in the Gospels is about this man I'm always talking about called St. Peter. And you'll know there's the story. Peter and the other disciples are in a boat, right? And they see Jesus, yes, and Jesus is walking on water. You know the story. And they see Jesus, and Peter, the one with the mouth like the Mersey Tunnel, Peter shouts to Jesus, he says, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you upon the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter could have kicked himself. He didn't mean it for a minute. But they're all watching and he said it, so he has to do it, hasn't he? And Jesus says, come. And Peter steps out of this secure boat. And I always have the picture. I don't know if you've... we've done it recently with grandchildren, and we've done it with our children, when children learn how to walk. You know, and one parent will stand there with the child, and the other one will be the other side of the room, and you'll hold it, and you'll say, well, come on, love, come on. And they look at you, and as long as they keep their eyes on you, and they walk like that, then they realise nobody's holding them, they look down, and they fall flat on their face. That's how children start when they walk, and that's what Peter did. As long as he looked at Jesus, he was all right, and he's walking up, and then he said, whatever am I doing? And he looked down, and that was it, and he sank. Dear old Peter, and Jesus had to pick him up, and did pick him up, as he always picks us up, and put him back in the boat. But he had to leave the boat, our dear old Peter. He had to leave the boat. And if you follow the call of Jesus, take heart, stand up, he's calling you, you've got to leave things behind, and that's the difficult bit. What is God calling you to? Yes, but what is he calling you to leave behind when you stand up and come to him? What is it in your life that in order to follow Jesus you need to leave behind? Letting go is the most difficult thing in life. And it might be something good. It might be something beautiful. But what are you being called to leave behind this week? Another of my favourite stories. I have finished stories after this, I think. This is a true story, because I heard it. I've only been to New York once. I went to New York and met this very old priest called Canon West. And Canon West told me a story about when he was a curate. He said when he was a curate many years ago in New York, he said he had a wonderful vicar. He said he was absolutely smashing. This vicar. He said the only trouble was he was a bit nouty first thing in the morning. He didn't talk to him early in the morning. It took him a while to come round, you know. But other than that, he was ever so nice. And he said my vicar had one ambition in life. He said he wanted to own a sideboard made by somebody called Epplewhite. A Epplewhite sideboard. Antique. Famous antiques. He said he's always wanted a Epplewhite sideboard. He said, and he saved up many, many years, because it was thousands of dollars. And he saved up, and eventually he bought a Epplewhite sideboard. And he took it home, and it was polished, and it was placed in the dining room, pride of place, under the window. And he thought it was wonderful, and he was as happy as anything, and it was great. He said, and for a couple of weeks, he said, life was wonderful. He said, you could even talk to him early in the morning. He wasn't nouty, he was on cloud. Then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, the sideboard disappeared. He said, I didn't like asking him what had happened to the sideboard. He said, and eventually my curiosity got the better of me. He said, so I went up to him. I said, excuse me, vicar. He said, you know that sideboard you'd saved up for all those years? He said, you had it for a fortnight. He said, it's gone, hasn't it? He said, yes, it's had to go, yes. He said, well, why? He said, well, I'd had it for a fortnight and everything was wonderful, he said, and I was out visiting. And I went to give communion to an old lady in the parish. He said, and I was praying with her and giving her communion, and I just happened to notice out of the window that it was raining. He said, and I thought to myself, have I left the window open over my Epplewhite sideboard? Is my Epplewhite sideboard getting wet? He says, I couldn't think about communion and my prayers. All I could think about was, is my Epplewhite sideboard wet? He said, so it had to go. It had to go. It was getting in the way. Wonderful hymn. Do you know the hymn, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God? One of the verses, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. The things that we've got to leave behind to follow the call of Jesus might be beautiful. They might be good. Oh yeah, it might be something bad. It might be your tendency to gossip or your pride or a sin or something like that. It might be a person. It might be a habit. It might be, as I say, something in itself harmless and beautiful. But an idol is anything, anything, anything that gets between you and God. And in order to follow the call of Jesus, take heart, stand up, he's calling you, we've got to leave things behind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus you have called each one of us, and we don't know why, that you have chosen the youngest and the oldest, the most ordinary, the most mixed up group of people to be your disciples, to follow you and to spread your gospel, and that tonight you have called us to be here with you. We pray that we may just have the confidence to take heart and stand up and respond to that call. And we pray, Lord, that we also may have the courage to lay aside whatever it is that gets in the way of our following you. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Lord, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I am yours, and you are mine, so be it. Amen.